This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Canada's National Mental Health Strategy says peer support is an essential component of mental health services, but it also recognizes that peer support is not yet seen as a core part of the mental health recovery process. In early June 2013, West Coast Mental Health Network, a peer support mental health program in British Columbia, was informed by Vancouver Coastal Health that it was going to pull all its funding from the program on December 1, 2013. The news came abruptly and without warning. West Coast Mental Health Network is one of five community-based mental health groups defunded by Vancouver Coastal Health. The decision was apparently based on the health authority's imperative to refocus on core health services. Are peer support programs seen as being dispensable? The Mental Health Commission of Canada says that peer support initiatives are undervalued and require more, not less, funding. We're joined on the phone by Michael Hijazi, one of the peer support facilitators with West Coast Mental Health Network.
Welcome to People First Radio, Michael.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
Michael, you're the facilitator of a group called Education, Engagement, and Empowerment. It's one of 10 peer support groups at West Coast Mental Health Network. Tell us more about that group.
Sure, I'd be happy to. The EE is a trialogue. We refer to it by its three letters. And what a trialogue is a three-way form of conversation. This goes between the patient or the consumer, the person who identifies as having or living with some form of mental illness or difficulty, and then meeting with their professional doctors, their clinicians, their nurses, along with their family or community. So it can be described as sort of a form of radical three-way integration and involvement. And what's interesting about it is that this is a sort of forum in which peer engagement and mental health group work is being done in other parts of the world. I know in Ontario, Ireland, Germany, Poland, Austria, et cetera, you know, are beginning to implement this. And unfortunately, in BC, you know, we're sort of moving regressively away from new and emerging ways of involving people.
Tell us more about the contributions that peer support makes to mental health recovery in a general sense.
Mm-hmm. I think, like, most generally, it can be, you know, sort of described in a case example from the 1930s. This was called the Dodo Bird Verdict. It's a scene from Alice in Wonderland where different people are made wet and then asked to run around the island to dry off, but nobody measures how much wetness they originally had. And so the dodo bird declares that everybody is a winner and everybody has a prize. We don't actually really know what exactly goes into making a particular form of therapy or treatment work. I know that certainly different kinds of psychotropic medication, antipsychotics, mood stabilizers, and so on, can be said to have the same properties, that whether you go to one form of therapy over another, it's not quite clear what actually makes the difference. And so arguably peer support services a certain kind of person, a person who wants that type of treatment, who benefits from that kind of treatment. Certainly a lot of the people who come to the network and like organizations are people who didn't necessarily benefit from a particular trial of medication or that type of therapy that they were given, might have even hurt them. And so they're self-identifying as somebody who could benefit from the peer support. And they demonstrate that this is somehow benefiting them by continuing to participate through the process. And so in terms of identifying what exactly it provides, I think we find that in the window of opportunity for those people who say that it works for them.
Now, you alluded earlier to at least the type of peer support work that you're involved in, that type of work is, to a greater or lesser extent, has been operating in different parts of the world. Give us a sense of how peer support work generally, once again, is perceived by the larger healthcare systems, perhaps in British Columbia and in Canada.
Yeah, certainly. I don't think it's easy to determine how exactly a system perceives it, because systems don't perceive things. They relate and react to them. And in terms of this system's reaction and relationship to these programs, in my experience, it's been hostile, mistrustful, neglectful. We can see that in the way in which these services are usually tangential, usually not adequately funded. I heard the last speaker talk about how in the art studio, they're having to raise funds for their own art supplies. So we really get to see that the way in which this relationship has manifest. I think also being outside of the system is also demonstrated by the fact that the people who are professionals in peer support type positions aren't adequately paid. They're often part-time, temporary, casual kinds of positions. And I think that, generally speaking, there's a devaluing of mental health in British Columbia in general. We have a totally deregulated mental health care system. Here in British Columbia, the vast majority of people who live in British Columbia cannot afford to seek psychotherapeutic help other than through the MSP-covered psychiatric means of treatment, and those are inadequate with wait times up to 2 years at a time. So I think in general we're moving towards a society that is going to treat people who are peers or in other way involved in mental health as third class, as expendable.
Vancouver Coastal Health has cut its funding from 5 community-based mental health groups, including West Coast Mental Health Network. The notion is to refocus funds on core health services. What are your thoughts on this, Michael?
Yeah, I think my response to the government statement on that is that it's dishonest and it's misleading. I know that $8.7 million was directed from the provincial government to the Ministry of Health, specifically earmarked for community aid and community mental health services. So, and that was in March 2013. A few months later, all of a sudden they're crying poor. So I don't think that that's quite honest of them to mislead British Columbians that way. And I would add, too, that when they talk about things like core services, I kind of get the sense that the folks who are making the financial decisions don't really know what actually goes into mental health treatments. I mean, they probably haven't been to a clinic. They probably haven't been trained. They don't understand that the people who need these kinds of services really, 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 really need them. I know that a young lady who comes to my group who has suffered with personality disorder for many, many years, she talked about how she was really at the end of her rope, and coming to that program was an absolute necessity for her. And likewise, I know that in the cutting of our art program, someone has said that they might have to hurt themselves. Now, I mean, whether or not we take their statement all that seriously is certainly an important issue. But I think more importantly, we see how core this service is to someone's life. That's my general reaction to this conception that somehow peer support services aren't core. It fall in the face of the evidence and what actually happens on the ground in the community, but it's also misleading that the government specifically received $8.7 million for these kinds of programs. And they've directed it to ACT, and they pretend like ACT is a wonderful program, whereas this year alone, I know in the UK and other parts of the world, there's extreme criticisms coming out against ACT, against ACT. What ACT essentially is a program whereby someone goes into 24-hour supervision by the police. In other provinces and countries, ACT is not administered by the police. It is here in British Columbia. I don't know why. But so the police supervise it, and the person can have their home invaded at any time and injectables utilized when healthcare workers suspect the person isn't taking their medications as ordered by their doctor. So it's an extremely coercive system. And if that's what the Ministry of Health considers healthcare, then we're all in big trouble.
Now, ACT, of course, refers to assertive community treatment. And earlier in the program, I shared some information that I obtained from Anne-Marie D'Angelo. She's the media relations officer at Vancouver Coastal Health. And Michael, she she says we now have three assertive community treatment teams, or ACT teams, that didn't exist 18 months ago. They're very expensive to operate, and that funds have to go to those teams.
Yeah, she's absolutely right. They are very expensive to operate, because if you're paying a police officer, you know, $100,000 a year, you know, and you're going to need a police officer to regulate or to manage this 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, plus the healthcare workers, plus the psychotropic medication costs. She's right. This is going to be an extremely expensive way of supporting people, so-called supporting assertively.
What's next for the peer support networks that have been created by West Coast Mental Health Network in the face of this funding cutback, which takes effect December the 1st?
Well, I think what will happen is what I saw happen at the Mental Health and Addictions Clinic, which is part of Vancouver Coastal Health Program in Burnaby, where just last year the program went from the directorship of Dr. Michael Krause. Michael Krause, it has been involved in the NAOMI project and other addictions type projects for very marginalized groups, sort of on the leading edge of those kinds of sciences and research. And he was then, you know, his the following doctor was more of a biomedically trained clinician. So what they did is they terminated all of the ART therapists, all of the counselors, and replaced them with nurses and nursing stations for drug dispensation. So I think that's generally going to be the trend in British Columbia, insofar as these kinds of decisions aren't reversed. You know, I think we'll see sort of an abandonment of this notion of the peer. You know, what is it to have an egalitarian, equalized system of care when people are caring for one another on a one-on-one basis, as opposed to a top-down, regimented ACT kind of assertive treatment model. So, yeah, I definitely think that these kinds of programs can't sustain themselves. And the people who utilize them generally can't afford to, say, pay dues into like a union kind of structure where they can receive services. So it's pretty grim if these programs go.
Michael Hejazi, thank you very much for taking the time to join us. And I look forward to speaking with you maybe in a couple of months, and we'll see how this all proceeds.
That would be my pleasure.
Michael Hejazi is a peer support facilitator with West Coast Mental Health Network. You can find the network online at wcmhn.com.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.